This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, is Jim on the line with us?
Yeah, he is. Of course, he can be heard on the Jim Norton and Sam Roberts Show, SiriusXM Satellite Radio. He's got the upcoming Netflix feature film, The Irishman, starring Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
Nice.
And he's going to be at State Theater this Sunday. Go to JimNorton.com for tickets. What's up, Jim?
Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Sorry, I'm in a cab. I'll be at my job in a couple of minutes. I'm about 10 minutes late today. I should have been at work.
It's all good.
How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. Congratulations, by the way. Didn't I see that you recently re-up?
Yeah, for 3 years. I mean, it was the hold-up for the whole re-up was the Chip Chipperson podcast. Believe it or not, the company wanted certain rights to Chip. It was like that stupid Chip almost ruined Jim Norton's career. It's really humiliating.
Unbelievable. That's yeah, hilarious. Congrats, dude.
And well, yeah, what are three-year contracts like?
Yeah, three-year contract in this market. That's pretty good.
You know, normally I'm used to going year to year or like 2 years at the most. I just wanted some kind of security. It's like I have no faith in the fact I'll be able to land another gig if I get fired from this one.
Right, that's awesome, dude. And then I don't know anything you got to tell me about. You did a movie where you worked with Pacino and De Niro.
That's a pretty good lineup.
I played Rickles, and the scene I shot was supposed to be in 1975. It's a nightclub scene, and De Niro and Pesci were in this scene.
Right.
But I play Rickles on stage, and I had to pause for my dialogue, and then De Niro and Pesci did their dialogue. It was really a surreal experience to be doing Don Rickles' act in front of De Niro. It was weird. I've worked with him before, so I was comfortable with him.
Do you still go out of your way to get pictures with these guys?
Right here, sir.
What'd you say?
I got pictures with De Niro and Pesci. I had met a while ago. The only one I really wanted to get was Scorsese because I didn't have him, and I wound up grabbing him on the way out the door. But the other guys I already had. So yeah, I mean, once in a while I will on a set. It's kind of hard to ask. But I walked into the room, and it was De Niro and Pesci and Scorsese, the three of them just standing there talking.
Unbelievable.
And I wanted to run over and just get a picture of all three and have them sign my Raging Bull poster. But I'm like, you can't do that. It's just unprofessional.
Jim, who is your white whale picture wise? Somebody you can't track down.
Richard Pryor.
that'll be a tough one.
Tough ass.
Yeah. Let me see. Do I have one? I don't really even have one anymore. I mean, I've gotten pretty much everybody that I wanted a picture with. I can't think of anybody that I would really love to. For a long time, it was De Niro or Pacino, and then I got those guys. Maybe Nicholson, but he's old. I don't think he goes out anymore. So
right.
I can't think of anybody that I'm dying to get one with.
What do you do with them? I mean, do you just have them like in a notebook, or do you have like a shrine somewhere? Like, what do you do?
No, it's a great question. I do nothing with them. They just sit on my stupid hard drive. Sometimes I'll print them out and get the person to sign them if I like the person.
Right.
I wouldn't mind getting The Rock. I kind of know The Rock, where we've communicated before. We've emailed and we've DM'd on Twitter, and I've never met him. He's a guy I would like to meet. But no, I don't do anything with these stupid photos. But once in a while, I have a bunch of them on my wall.
Right.
But, you know, I'm a 50-year-old lonely single man with pictures of himself and the four members of the original Kiss. No woman wants to. It's completely unsexually attractive apartment I live in.
Right.
Hey, what'd you think of the McGregor fight?
You know, I mean, look, everybody knew Khabib was probably going to beat him. This is the first time I actually took Conor, and of course he loses. I'm like, well, maybe Khabib coming in, Conor will knock him out. What did I think of it? McGregor was tougher than I thought he would be. I didn't like the way it ended. I thought that was really stupid. It could have got the UFC sued for a lot of money if a fan got hurt. But, you know, it was a good fight. I mean, it's always fun to watch Conor. Whether he wins or loses, people pay to watch him fight. They want to watch him kill somebody or get beat up. So I always enjoy watching him fight.
I never want to see him fight Khabib again because I think it would just destroy him just the same exact way he did the first time.
That's why you want to see Ferguson fight Khabib next. Conor, I mean, look, he's probably a guy on the ground is the worst matchup for him, and he knows that.
Right.
And you could tell when he walked in, he looked confident, but he didn't look confident. He definitely looked nervous. I'd never seen him look nervous before, But he knew that even guys like Ferguson, who are great off the ground, Khabib is the one guy who is going to take him down and put his face between the corner of the cage and the ring, and then just and beat him. And that was what he did. So I think Conor kind of knew it was coming.
Right.
Well, he even got tagged in the stand-up, which he said afterwards that he didn't really prep for stand-up.
I don't think you mean Khabib tagged him.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think Conor respected his stand-up. I don't think that he was worried about Khabib hitting him. And he could have gotten knocked out, but everyone kind of knew it was going to come and happen the way it happened. And it's the one time I took McGregor, because I don't really love McGregor, because he's always beating up guys I like. Like, I love Jose Aldo, I love Eddie Alvarez, and McGregor beat those guys. So I'm like, I'm finally going to take McGregor, and then he loses. So I suck at picking fights, by the way.
Right.
So if you ever hear me picking a fight, go the opposite way. I'm atrocious. I think I'm 1-for-50 this year.
Do you take them, or do you actually, like, bet them?
No, I don't gamble, because I do the UFC's podcast.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I like these guys. When you interview guys, it's kind of hard to root against anybody because you like them all.
Right.
Like, they're all nice dudes. Like, I don't know how Rogan does what he does, because he knows every one of them intimately. Like, with me, I'll usually just pick the one that I know the least to right. lose. You know what I mean? The guy I like a little bit better, I'll pick him. But I can't gamble, dude. There's too much stress with losing money as well.
Have you?
I mean, I gamble enough that I'm not wearing condoms, so the last thing I need to do is lose money.
That is quite the gamble.
Have you known Joe? Have you known Rogan for years, like way before he blew up on the UFC?
Oh, yeah, probably since like 92, maybe. Joe and I did gigs. I remember the first gig I ever did with Joe. It was in like Lake Apatcon, New Jersey, I think. And it was before he was famous, before anything had happened, before Fear Factor, before news radio even. But he was a funny guy. You knew he was like a high energy, funny act. But I don't even think he was the headliner. I think I was the opener. He was the middle act, and some other guy was the headliner. So yeah, I know Joe a long time.
See, I'm embarrassed because I've seen his podcast obviously a million times, and I've seen him, you know, with the Fear Factor in the UFC. But I've never really seen his stand up, so I don't really know what kind of stand up guy he is. Is he amazing?
He's a funny guy. I mean, he's pretty topical. You know, he's aggressive. You know, I haven't watched much of his stand up lately. I don't watch any comedians. I think the last time I probably saw Joe's You know when I saw Joe's stand-up? I did a spot on his show when I was in Vegas.
Right.
Probably about 2 years ago. And he was funny. I mean, he was doing some Caitlyn Jenner bit, which I thought was really good, that he closed with.
Right.
That wound up on one of his specials. So, yeah, Joe's a good stand-up, too. People forget he's a stand-up because he's a great commentator, and his podcast is so good. A lot of people don't even realize that he's actually, the first thing he does is stand-up.
Right, right.
Well, you're doing stand-up State Theater this Sunday, jimnorton.com for tickets. I know you were in D.C., I don't know, several months ago, and I don't think you do much of this. Do you weave in what's going on? You know, you had kind of a combative presser yesterday with Donald Trump and the reporters yesterday.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Our Bud Dwyer didn't have as uncomfortable a press conference.
I mean, that's the guy that blew the brains out.
Our Bud Dwyer jokes are always great. They always make me chuckle. They do.
Dude, that was amazing
morbid.
To watch him. You, sit down. Sit down. He wants to throw Jim Acosta out. It was incredible.
Right.
I love what's going on. I talk about it in my act. I talk about Trump. I don't hate him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is he my favorite? No. But the fact that everybody hates his guts, it's like, come on, man. He's doing something. Right? And the way he treats the press is really entertaining, and they deserve it.
All right,
Jim. Well, hey,
listen,
thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We know you got to run. You got to jump into your show. Give him the plug one more time. Because I think it's
State Theater this Sunday, and you just go to
jimnorton.com
for tickets.
Yeah, State Theater this Sunday night. I haven't been there in like 10 years. I love you guys. I would rather be coming in studio. So
next time.
Hopefully next time I'll be in town a day earlier.
Next time. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that's Jim Norton, everybody. We love him.
When did The Irishman hit Netflix?
I don't know. I'd have to look
up
the release date.
He plays Don Rickles. That's interesting.
It's actually good casting.
That
it is.
Back and forth between Trump and Jim Acosta yesterday was fun. How about the girl, the little aide there, trying to rip the
that's
mic?
That's literally an intern.
Right, trying to rip the mic out of Acosta's hand.
I think she was trying to do her job.
No, I understand it, but she couldn't get it out of it.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
I felt bad for her.
He wasn't budging on that.
I felt bad for her.
You are the worst person in the world.
Is that your Trump?
That's the best I could do.
It's not bad.
I've only seen the video. I haven't seen the audio. I haven't heard any of the audio.
Oh, I'm stunned you weren't watching it live, Gakes.
The caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign.
You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual...
All right, it's enough. You know, it's just enough.
We didn't even get to the point.
We didn't get to the back and forth.
Yeah,
I wanted to hear him say you're the worst person in the world.
Well, your ratings
let me
be
ask,
much
if
better.
If I may ask one other question, Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
Mr. President,
Whatever.
He's the worst person in the world. He's worse than dictators.
It's entertaining. Well, I don't know if he said that.
No, he didn't say exactly that.
He said a terrible person.
He said just something like, yeah, you're a terrible, disgusting person or something.
Worse than pedophiles.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN.
Oh, that was funny. Made me chuckle there, Bickle.
It is entertaining. I'll say that for sure.
It is.
Definitely entertaining.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of the junkies walks in this morning a little bit richer.
Oh, is that Johnny Cakes?
Johnny Cakes took it down last night.
Well, took it down as a stretch. It was the Cakes Classic out at MGM National Harbor. It's held the first Wednesday of every month. It's a $300 buy-in tournament, and there's a $300 bounty on this head, $50 on everybody else. So, of course, everybody, I have a big target on me from the second that I sit down.
But your head didn't get lopped off.
It did not. Not last night. Made it till about midnight with a relatively large stack. I think it was the second largest stack at the table. And then the chop talk started circulating. I think everybody was ready to kind of call it a night. And we chopped it 9 ways. I kept my original bounty. Everybody went home happy. And it was a good night.
Did you know any of the other players?
There are some semi-regulars that show up to that tournament basically every month. So, yes, I'm starting to get to know some of the faces that show up, which is nice.
And Cakes got to his hotel room at about 12:45.
12:45-ish, yep.
Did you have your typical 3 beers while you watch the Caps Pens and you play some poker?
I sat down for sushi at around 6 o'clock at Bento.
That's my spot.
I started off with a 20-ounce Sapporo. So I guess that counts as like
Bento, the spot right in the food court,
yes.
Eatery.
Did you get the poke bowl?
I did not get the poke bowl. Oh. I got the chirashi bowl, which is very good, which is very tasty. So then I finished that. I ate the bowl, and then I was like, well, I definitely have to reach my comp level here, so I definitely have to order a second beer. So I ordered a Blue Moon 20-ouncer, brought that up to the poker table. And then during the event, I ordered a Silly Goose Island IPA. And then I finished the evening with a nightcap with a Miller Lite.
Jesus, you had 4 different beers?
Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was quite the evening.
When you drink that much beer, doesn't that make you like get up and pee in the middle of the night? Like when I drink 3 or 4 beers, I will have to get up and use the bathroom.
I peed during every single break during the tournament.
So you emptied
every single break.
You emptied plenty before you went to bed.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right.
Well, I slept for 4 hours too.
Yeah,
you have to get up in the middle of the night in a 4-hour nap.
Well, you drink a lot. I mean, that's just a lot of liquid in
your
system.
I left my phone charger in my car, and I wasn't about to traipse from my room back to my car to get it. So I had to rely on the front desk.
Ooh.
For the wake up call.
Were you anxious about that?
Of course, I was anxious.
I'm sure there's some sort of automatic.
I'm sure there is. And of course, they called right on time. But
automatic focus.
I still worry about it.
Right.
I worry about such things.
Right. But you did watch the Caps last night, which was an incredible game.
I watched bits and pieces, but I definitely saw that Oshie got knocked out twice.
Yes.
And came back.
Came back for the game winner.
He was the American hero that he, you know, that we've always known that he is.
Particularly in a game where the Caps were basically outplayed. They're outshot.
Yep.
They rung the post, I don't know, at least three times. Hope he played amazing, though. Mm-hmm. I think he had like 41 saves. But the Caps steal one at home last night, which is
nice.
Just great for momentum and just keeps everybody feeling
game?
Good.
Was it chippy?
Well, it's definitely chippy when Malkin gets ejected for a headshot on TJ Oshie.
Oh, all right.
And he's probably facing some sort of suspension.
It wasn't that vicious of a shot, in my opinion, but I mean, it definitely was a headshot. And
I think Reardon was trying to
chicken
winged
him a little bit
to Wilson's in a way.
Wilson's are always far more vicious than that one. But you feel bad for Oshie because he got taken out with a stick earlier. Then he took
right
that headshot. He's had a concussion issue. He's had at least four concussions as a pro. But he's tough as nails, and he comes out there with like a minute 20 left, whatever it is, and scores the game winner.
Apparently, nice one. He scored again?
Power play. I mean, he'll be able to do that until he's 60.
I mean,
that's what I said. He can retire for 10 years, come back, score in power
play. It's not like he scores in open ice or anything. He just stands there in a corner in his office, right. And he'll just can do that until he's 60.
Well, it's because you can't even see it.
He can still score in open ice, but he's really...
He can, but that's not his thing.
You can't see the puck when he shoots it.
You can't
see
the
it.
Quickest release. He's just unbelievable.
I couldn't believe
Andy
it.
Andy has great setup men on that power play.
In the game against the Oilers a few nights ago, he uncorked just a wicked shot. It had to be over 100 miles an hour.
Right.
And it hit the Oilers defenseman, and Ovi just skated over to him and gave him a stick tap. It was like, you sacrificed for that one, man. I understand what you're doing. It's nobody wants to step in front of that thing.
Mm.
Those guys do it. Those guys are willing to put their bodies in front of those missiles that are flying
towards
the goal.
That's why we had Chandler on whatever day it was, Monday or Tuesday, and he said he's already got... He's only 21, 22 years old. I think he's already got four or five fake teeth.
I thought he said six.
Six. Yeah. Now,
wow,
he may be 25, but he's still
young.
The Caps now
have 17 points. He's just 1 point behind the Isles.
Yep.
Can't believe the Islanders are atop the Metro.
Barry Trotz, baby.
I know.
Trotzy.
And Trotz, we used to trust.
I thought they sucked the last few years.
They did. It's Trotzy. It's all Trotz.
It's the Trotzy effect.
I really don't know who they signed in the offseason. I don't know if they made silly moves. I knew they lost the one guy, Tavares. I thought that was supposed to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was like the crown jewel free agent of the offseason.
Right.
It's a big loss.
Where'd
for
he
them.
End up?
Toronto.
So all Caps, right. Big win for them.
Nice. It was a nice, solid win for them. All right, let's bring out some of these calls. It is an open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Can talk about whatever you want. Of course, we've got Peter from Burke. He's on early.
He is, yes.
Peter, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Pete. It's the Adam Eaton of the Junks. Hey, good morning, guys. Congrats
to Peaks
on his big score. I'm calling you this morning from Solomons, Maryland, the home of Droopy Power Lines.
What are you doing there?
I just want... Just traveling for work, you know.
In Solomons?
That's
Solomon's
not Solomons Island, Maryland?
We're Solomons, Maryland.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Well, it's got to be the same. There can't be a Solomons and a Solomons
They're
Island.
They're dropping the island like Tyson's is dropping
Are you staying over there really? Next to the jetty and what's the other place? Annie's? Where are you staying over
yeah,
there?
A place called The Pier.
The Pier, yeah.
It's got the, yeah.
Where's the Tiki Bar? Is there a Tiki Bar out there?
It's over there somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to weigh in on the AWOD midterm elections quiz. Was radio gold, of course.
Yes.
I thought the most delicious irony was that he was actually filibustering while he was trying to define, unsuccessfully, of course,
right. That's
the
a very good
the
point.
Word filibuster.
His life is a big filibuster. Right.
So I know he's a very polarizing figure, so he may not lend himself to middle-of-the-road solutions, but my idea is to put up one of those. I know JP always wants the AWOD 3 months. But put up one of those signs like they have in factories, you know, so many days since last injury or last accident.
It's not a bad idea.
You know, like, I'm not following.
The AWOD sign in the studio.
It's like one of those safety signs that if you're on an assembly line for Ford, it says 94 days since our last accident.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
We could have like a tote board in here, like 13 days since AWOD sat down in the studio.
Oh, okay. I got you. We could do that.
It's not a terrible idea.
And I wanted to ask Jason if he thought Soda got robbed in the Rookie of the Year, or if he agrees with the selection of my man Ronald Acuna Jr.
Did he get robbed? I don't think he got robbed. Acuna had a great year, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was great watching the two of them all summer, but I think he kind of pulled ahead there in August.
Yeah, I mean,
with all those bombs and everything.
Soda didn't get robbed at all. I mean,
forgot you're a Braves guy. Do you want the Braves to acquire Machado or Harper?
I don't know. I mean, Machado really hurt us in the playoffs there with the Dodgers. So I know he's kind of a hothead, he seems. But, you know, wouldn't turn down either of those. I think feel like we still need some pitching. But yeah, excited for next year.
All right,
anyway,
Peter.
I know,
I think you're petering out.
Yep. Well, Ronald Acuna Jr. is usually the cue for the music.
Yeah, you should have. Peter knows it so well, he's waiting for the hook.
As soon as Valdez heard Ron, he should have queued up the music.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, buddy.
So were there more stories about Bryce Harper yesterday?
Did we talk about the fact that it was reported that it was 10 years, $300 million? Did we touch on that?
Yes, and that there were no opt-outs. I've seen some talk they want at least $350 or the offers, or they expect offers to start coming in for $350.
Agents have speculated they think he'll get $350. So I was thinking to myself, if I'm Bryce, am I going to hold out for $300 if I think I could get $350? I probably would. Yeah, the extra $50.
I mean, $5 million a year, right?
I mean, the extra $50 million.
Why would you be in a rush?
Plus, when you know the Nats money, no one discussed it. You probably $200 million is probably deferred. You know, with no interest. So who knows? You know,
the Nats probably knew he wasn't going to take that offer.
I think so. I think they just did it so they could say they did it.
Show the fans.
Why would he take it? I mean, it was the biggest free agency.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can say we made the biggest.
It was the biggest free agent offer.
But you did notice they pulled it after he turned it down.
Yeah.
Rizzo said the offer is no longer on the table.
Let's take it or leave it.
Well, then they could revisit it later. But that particular offer was for them.
Well, look, they're not going to wait around.
I don't know why that serves them. That, to me, tells you it's more disingenuous because, all right, if he doesn't take it in the first 24 hours, you can still leave it out there. Maybe the guy a week later decides, you know what, let me accept it.
They might have left it out there for a couple days, but he's just saying he's not leaving it out there for all of
season. You think they're
going to
wait for Bryce for 2 months when there's other players?
No, I understand that.
Well,
if
that's why you pull
actively signing other players, then you can pull it. Like if they've signed another player that's significant eating into the future salary.
You know what? It doesn't matter.
Situation.
It doesn't matter if they pulled it or not. He's not signing it.
Yeah.
But you don't even have to come out and say, we're pulling this offer.
I know, but I just don't understand why it's necessary to pull the offer.
We'll just say, if we made this offer, and then you've turned it down.
Yeah, we're not waiting around for you.
No, he turned it down. All right, so that offer's no longer on the table.
It's a puff your chest out type of move.
I personally just think it's unnecessary. All right, phone number's 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaner lines.
Here's why it's not. Because what if the market doesn't materialize, and then he goes, oh, no, I think now I want that $300 million. Well, now they've lost their leverage then.
Okay, good point.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I doubt it, but to cover your ass, what if the market, it hasn't been as great as people had thought the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So if that market doesn't materialize and he's only getting $250 from somewhere else, why give him an extra $50? So they might readjust.
That's probably true as well. But it's also because they're going to move on and they're going to look at other players.
Correct.
And they're going to use that money for other players.
For sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if they got back in the mix if the market wasn't markedly different. You know, if it wasn't markedly better. I wouldn't say that means the Nats are totally out of it yet. I don't think
probably not. But they're probably going to. He's probably going to get more than $300 somewhere.
Probably. I agree. But
I still think the Giants are going to be a big player.
They were saying last night that's overblown. Did you see that story?
I saw, but also saw another story where they're very interested.
It kind of depends.
Yeah, it depends on who knows what's happening behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's impossible to know for sure.
But something's going to happen here soon.
Got to feel amazing after that hard-fought game last night. Particularly, I mean, definitely feels like you stole one, right?
Absolutely. You know, the first period was kind of a dud for a Capitals-Penguins type of game. And after that, the second or third period delivered. But that game was really for the Capitals. It was about Braden Holtby. They didn't play great defensively, and he saved them time and time again. Some nights he hasn't been able to do that. Although I think he's played well, the numbers are a little against my opinion or my theory. But the team has been giving up a lot of great A point-blank chances. But Braden last night was really unbeatable. The one Crosby goal, it was, you know, a goal that we've seen Crosby score many times, a lot like the goal that Ovechkin scored. We've seen that goal many times. So those things are going to happen, but everyone else, they didn't stand a chance.
Allen, he stopped 41 of 42. Do you think that was his best performance of the season so far?
Absolutely, because there were so many stops that he made that should have been goals that he fought hard for. He battled to make sure that he stopped. And without a doubt, that was his best performance. Nothing has come close to that. That was sensational. That was the talk of the National Hockey League last night and today. And that's something that he can build on. And hopefully his team can get it together defensively because, wow, if you're not 100% on like he was last night, you're going to lose a big game by a big score.
Do you think Malkin's going to get a suspension for that hit on TJ?
I absolutely think that he should. And no, I really like the player. I think he's phenomenal to watch. I'm a big fan of everything that he brings. But we saw Mark Borowiecki, who with the Ottawa Senators, get suspended for the same type of play. I don't know if it's a reaction, but I just think that one has to be called on the carpet. The league has given guys suspensions this year, I think, for less. I think I don't care how good of a player he is. We've seen Ovechkin get suspended in the past. I really think that he has to be suspended, serve some time for this. How much, I don't know. I think more than one game, but I think he should absolutely be suspended.
Hey, how big is Travis Boyd coming back for this team?
Well, you know, he's playing. He's inspired right now, and you know he was injured in training camp. Things didn't go his way, but he's moving his legs. He's doing things to bring that line together. I just think that you have a kid who's been an elite offensive player at the American Hockey League level, and he gets up here and he's making the most of his opportunity. Conditioning was probably something that he didn't do enough of in the past, but he came here in great shape, ready to make the team. And it's unfortunate they got hurt, but he trained. He worked hard with the Caps trainers to get himself where he's at, and he's moving his legs and he's making a huge difference right now.
Alan, what's going on with the Pens? I mean, they're just hemorrhaging. They lost 5-1 to the Devils on home ice. They lost a close one here to the Capitals. Sullivan was tweaking some of the power play lineups and some of the lines in practice on Tuesday before this game. Is it panic mode time yet in Pittsburgh, or is it too early for that?
It's too early, but they've got an incredible GM who's made some big trades at the right time, and he'll do so again. I don't think their defense is where it needs to be. They lost Justin Schultz, a guy that's been really good against the Capitals and who reclaimed his career, revived it once he was traded from the Oilers to the Penguins, and he's been a big part of their power play, 5-on-5 at moving the puck. I just don't think their D is up to where it was in the past. Jamie Oleksiak, he's got numbers right now, but to me, he's not the type of player that you can count on late in the game. I think he's one of the reasons the Caps were able to have success in the playoffs last year. And then I'm not sure where Jack Johnson is in his career. He's an older player. He signed a new deal with the Penguins. I just think that their defense isn't what it was in the past. And they've got a couple of guys that have been key performers that aren't putting the pucks in the net right now. So you just couple all that together. And then bad goaltending. Their kid last night I liked, but Matt Murray's had a really tough time this year. He's got awful numbers. And he's been struggling. He came out of the gates well with a concussion, and then he just hasn't got his game back to where it needs to be for the Penguins to have any type of success.
Talking to Alan May, covers the Capitals for NBC Sports Washington. Back to the Caps. They've had to go to six different guys, I believe, at right wing with Tom Wilson suspended. Who have you liked the most there? Do you think they're settling in and doing fine there? What are your thoughts?
I think they've all done fine, but fine's not good enough. And you know that when your wife or your girlfriend uses that word, fine just doesn't work in the game of hockey. They need Tom Wilson to be back in that line. And other than Tom Wilson, you put TJ Oshie there. But then, you know, are you going to play Ovechkin and Backstrom and Oshie together, or is it going to be Kuznetsov with those two guys? And it leaves you kind of bare on that second line. So the biggest thing is, you know, they're going to be at 20 games soon, and they're going to be able to get the, you know, I'm not sure where the suspension or the appeal of Tom Wilson is going to go, because they usually take forever, and the suspension could be served by the time the appeal comes out. But Tom Wilson's obviously the only guy that is really working there right now, and barring that, it's got to be Oshie, and everyone else has just been fine.
Alan, I'm sure that Coach Reardon is happy that the Caps are first at this point in goals per game in the NHL at 3.6. He can't be happy with the goals against at 3.5. How does he shore that up going forward? I'm guessing the fact that Brooks Orpik's been sidelined for four games isn't helping.
Well, that certainly doesn't help. But the big thing to get the defense in order, every player on this team, you know, they've had an emotional high all through the spring. Every game was big emotionally. And I wonder, you know, how players are feeling as far as, you know, last night was kind of a dud in the first period. The fans weren't going at it like they have been, and I haven't felt the fans being there emotionally to start the season, and I haven't felt the players being there emotionally other than, and the fans as well, the first game against Boston at home, the 7-0 blowout, and then they shellacked the Golden Knights. And I just don't think the intensity level's there because of, you know, it's still a little, there is a hangover. I'll finally admit it. I didn't want to because I didn't think it was going to happen. But they're not blocking enough shots. They're not winning their battles on the boards enough. They're not playing with the type of intensity, and it's not an indictment against anyone. It's just a completely different emotional setting, and it's going to take, you know, the leader players and hopefully, you know, a guy like Brooks Orpik, Ovi, Backstrom, John Carlson. They're going to have to kick everyone in the ass to get them going and start to raise their level of play. And last night might be the game that gets them back on track to say, hey, we got to get this thing going. We have to work on our game to get ready for the playoffs. We got to make sure that we're in the playoffs. But I think right now we're still seeing a little bit of an emotional hangover from what transpired here in, you know, April, May, and June.
I don't know. I know it's early. It's like 11, 12 games in, 13 for some teams. But you look at the Metro, the Islanders are on top with 18 points. The last place team in the Metro right now is the Devils with 13. Every team is just bunched together so far. And, you know, the Caps can open up a little distance tomorrow with the Blue Jackets in town. But that's a bunched up group in the Metro right now.
Well, we've seen that a lot over the years. And, you know, they're always bragging, you know, the media, they've got their guys. And they go, oh, the central division is the best this year. Well, I'm sad to say, the Metropolitan Division has the Stanley Cup champs the last 3 years. And these are teams that are rebuilding. They have to play against each other so many times. And they're all teams that within a week go from last place in the division to first place. And they're teams that, you know, they're tough to play against. The Carolina Hurricanes, the New Jersey Devils, they're tough to play against right now. Probably the only team, but they're young, they're very emotional, and they're up and down. It's the New York Rangers. Philly's an emotional team, but they're fast. They've got some great players up top. They've got some talented players on defense. So you just look at this division. That's why you've got to start getting your act together and be consistent, because you don't want to get out of that pack. You've got to stay at the top of it. Right now where the Caps are, we saw a little bit of this at the start of last year before the Caps took over in the Metro. But they're all good teams. They all have components that you need to be successful. Some are younger, some are older, but it's a very, very good division.
Joined by Alan May, covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. A couple people tweeted us this morning that Oshie may have flopped a little. Did he flop at all?
I'm sure they were Pittsburgh fans. He did not flop. He smashed his face on the ice.
Right.
He also smashed his chin on the ice when he went down. That's not a flop.
Right.
On the other one, he took a stick to the eye. There's graphic evidence of that. So it's just garbage to have an opinion like that. He got hit in the head. It was a headshot. He smashed his chin on the ice when he went down. He was injured. He had to leave. I was a little bit alarmed at his interview after the game. He kept getting the answers to the questions wrong, or maybe not understanding. Huh. But he seemed in good spirits. Hopefully he woke up well today, and the next time they skate, he'll be out there ready to go and feeling good, because last year I felt that he was out of sorts for quite a while after taking a head hit.
So, what's your concern when you're saying he's not answering right? You're saying he had concussion syndrome?
Well, I was just worried that he was funny, but he wasn't sharp. Right. And, you know, I don't know if I'm making something out of nothing, but I thought it was odd. And maybe it was just that he was, you know, high in the moment, such a great emotional win. And, you know, he essentially is the star of the game with Braden Holtby. They iced it with just over a minute left. But, he was happy. He was laughing. He was joking.
Right.
And I just hope that he's all right. You just, you know, a lot of these headshots, the guys wake up the next day. They're fine when they go to bed. They wake up the next day and they're in trouble. So, you know, you just want to see him on the ice, because last year, once he was hit in the head, he never really got back on track for the longest time. And it's been a lot of documented concussions with him. So he's definitely a guy that the Caps cannot afford to lose for a lengthy period of time.
So, Alan, the Caps have gotten points in 7 of their last 10. They've won a couple in a row. They're 1 point back of the Islanders. They're 7-4-3. Now, they give up too many goals, but they're scoring goals. Are they off to a better start than you expected, considering the shorter offseason?
No, I thought they'd be a little more consistent than they have. You know, they're getting points, but they still feel like losses when they get those. You know, the shootout loss or the overtime loss, it still feels like a loss when you're one of the players wearing the jersey. And last night was the first time they got a back-to-back win. And so you want to see more of that. I'm not surprised. I thought they'd be tops in the division no matter what. I still expect them to go to the top, but their play hasn't been to where it needs to be. So it's about now, you know, getting streaks, winning streaks together like they've done so many times in the past. You know, you go 4 or 5 in a row, you know, maybe you lose a game, a tight one like they have, you get a point, and then you go back on another win streak. I think it's time they start getting their game together in the areas that I mentioned earlier. Defensively, the commitment to block shots, the battle on the boards, and certainly down low helping out their goaltenders, because their goaltenders have had way too many high danger point blank opportunities against. And you got to be perfect in nights like that. And I just don't like when you're playing loose. So defensively, they've got to get it together.
Hey, Alan, 2 or 3 years ago, would you have believed this headline? Vegas signs Nate Schmidt the $35.7 million deal.
Wow. No damn way, and neither would Nate Schmidt. There's no way. There's no way. He would have even thought it was true. He would have thought you were on the pipe. And I'm so happy for the guy. He deserved it.
Yeah.
He turned his game around. He went to an elite level of conditioning. He improved his skating. He's one of the greatest guys to be around. He's always happy. He's positive, and he's brought that to his game. And Vegas really misses having him on their team right now. And he's going to be a difference maker when he gets back. They're second to last in the Western Conference, and I believe that when he gets back, they should be able to shoot up in the standings because he does so many great things out on the ice. But good for him. Congratulations, and I wish it was my bank that all that money was going into.
How long is that suspension?
He's got 20 games. He's back next week.
Yeah, he's okay. Back on the 18th.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're back. They're at 15 games played right now, so he's back. And I think yesterday was the first day that he skated with their team. But he's going to be a big difference maker for the Golden Knights, and they should gain a lot of confidence from getting him back.
Excellent.
All right, Alan. Appreciate you joining us as always. It's Alan May. Covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. Thanks,
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Our pal Dave Richards, CBS Sports. You can catch him on Fantasy Football Today live every day at noon on CBS Sports new streaming channel, CBS Sports HQ. The latest sports news, highlights, and smart analysis. It's all free at CBSSportsHQ.com or on the free CBS Sports app. Hey, Dave.
Gentlemen, I assume that we all won in our fantasy leagues and made a boatload of cash in the previous weekend.
Done fairly well.
I don't know about that.
I lost last week. I'm 6-3, though, in second, so this is a big week. I'm playing a team that's starting Baker Mayfield, though.
Yeah, he should be okay.
You know, he's a good streaming quarterback this week. I actually don't mind the matchup at all against Atlanta, so...
Yeah.
Don't think that you're going to win just because you're going up against Baker.
Oh, no. I don't think that. But, I mean, his overall record isn't that great. I'm the favorite, but, again, the favorites don't always win.
Speaking of streaming, I know you're in favor of streaming defenses. Do you like my formula of streaming defense against AFC quarterbacks, AFC East quarterbacks, not named Tom Brady?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's something to that. And if you look at my rankings, you'll see it. The Jets, Bills, and the Packers, DST, all ranked as top 12 options. I actually like the Jets the best. I think they've got the most talent on their defense compared to what the Packers and the Bills have. And they're playing Buffalo. That's really the creme de la creme of crappy offenses in the NFL these days. And going with the DST against Buffalo is always a smart move.
Dave, is Josh McCown a sneaky streamer this weekend?
No, he's just a regular old streamer. He's an AFC East quarterback. I can't go from saying that, you know, the Bills DFC is a streaming option to say, oh yeah, Josh McCown, 20 fantasy points. I don't think it's going to happen. It would be different if we had seen it for a few weeks already, but we haven't. And just, I don't love his weapons in New York. The offensive line isn't that good. And Buffalo's defense, for what it's worth, they're okay. They're just put in terrible situations because their offense turns the ball over so much or punts so much. So Josh McCown just doesn't really move the needle for me this week. I love Baker Mayfield by comparison. Eli Manning, Marcus Mariota, even Dak Prescott I'll take over Josh McCown.
Here's a tweet from one of our listeners. Should I start Cam Newton or Andrew Luck this week?
Both of them are going to be awesome. Really looking forward to this matchup tonight between the Panthers and the Steelers. Should be high scoring. I will take Cam tonight against Pittsburgh. That Steelers defense is good. It's not great. And Newton is just such a great source for fantasy points. Luck is going to be good, too. I've got him ranked 8th among my quarterbacks this week. But he's taking on Jacksonville, and I think that Jaguars defense coming out of the bye should be feisty at the very least.
Should I dump Pittsburgh's defense and pick up Indianapolis?
You can definitely do that just because they're playing Carolina and Cam and company are going to put up some points and the Colts are taking on Bortles. You know, it's almost like Bortles should be in the AFC East conversation along with those other teams because he's always good for a couple of turnovers.
Okay. So what, do you like that move or, do you, I mean, should I stay with Pittsburgh?
Well, the only reason why I might consider hanging on to Pittsburgh is because they've got Jacksonville next, and then they've got Denver the week after that. So if you take your lumps with the Steelers this week, you've got a decent DST for the 2 weeks after. But I don't know how many people are going to be in a rush to go pick up the Steelers defense right. if you drop them.
Yeah.
So it's probably worth it if you do drop them. I doubt the Chargers DST is still out there. That's really the one that you'll want. They've got Oakland this week, then Denver, then Arizona. So a lot of kind of meandering offenses in their future. And they're going to get Joey Bosa back. The Chargers DST will help people get into the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, they're not available. Best one available right now is Seattle, but I'm not picking them up.
No, Dave, you can't this week because you're taking on the Rams.
Right, right.
Dave, what is your take on Packers breakout wide receiver Matt Valdes-Scantling?
I wish it was Matt Valdes-Scantling because then it'd be easier to pronounce. But, yeah, Marquez Valdes-Scantling – I think he's really good. Very fast, smooth route runner, very tall, making some pretty incredible deep plays for Aaron Rodgers. And that's kind of the whole key is that he's a receiver in Green Bay, right? So those receivers are always going to have opportunities to get lots of targets, decent amount of catches. And in Valdes-Scantling's case, a lot of deep targets and maybe a couple of long touchdowns between now and the end of the season. So I like him a lot. I actually love his matchup this week against Miami. Always going to see single coverage playing opposite Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham. I think he's absolutely worth picking up off the waiver wire if he's still there. And then I'd start him. I think he's a top 24 fantasy receiver this week.
This is Matt Valdes.
All right, you want to take some calls here?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Let's go to our guy Moses. Georgetown. Moses, what's up?
I need to know, out of all these donks, who should I start? Jalen Richard, Elijah McGuire, Peyton Barber, or Ito Smith in a half PPR?
Half PPR, I think it's down to Richard and Ito Smith just because Richard gets a lot of catches. I think he's probably a little bit safer than Ito Smith. But that's really the only reason why, because of those guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Moses.
Good luck.
Let's go to Heather Dumfries. Hey, Heather.
Hey, Dave. Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I'm a PPR league. I just need one: Galladay, Traquan Smith, Tyrell Williams, or I could pick up Anthony Miller.
I think Galladay is the one that I would go with there. He's still got the profile of the top 24 fantasy receiver, even though he hasn't given you great numbers. And I think the Lions are going to be in a game against Chicago where they're going to have to throw the football a lot. I'm surprised by how limited targets he's had over the past 2 or 3 weeks. I think this week at Chicago, the Lions rectified. He's the one I'm most confident in from that group.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Let's go to Steve Fairfax. Steve, what's up? You're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, I'm in a half-point PPR, and in my flex position, I wonder, should I start Valdes-Scantling or Greg Olsen?
Oh, man, I wish you could start both those guys. In a half PPR, I think the matchup is going to be a little bit better for Olsen. He scored in 3 straight games. The Steelers haven't been great against tight ends like we've seen before. And again, I'm expecting a high-scoring game between the Panthers and the Steelers tonight. So I'd lean a little bit toward Olsen over Valdes-Scantling.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Doug Alexandria. Doug, you're on with Dave Richard.
Dave, I got a trash heap of Crowell, Ito Smith, Christian Kirk and Jared Cook, pick 2 of 4.
Is it PPR or is it non-PPR? Because that's going to actually
matter. It's half PPR.
Okay, so right in the middle. I'm going to go with Crowell just because I think this is a game where the Jets can lean on their run game and score against Buffalo. We're talking about the Bills' offense turning the ball over so much. That will help the Jets' offense run, move the chains, and hopefully Crowell can find the end zone after he couldn't get it done last week in a great matchup against Miami. And Christian Kirk's been pretty good lately. Half PPR, he's probably been good for about 7 or 8 fantasy points at minimum each of the last 3 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if he continued to get a lot of targets and catches as the Cardinals play from behind against the Chiefs on Sunday.
Oh, they're going to be so behind in that game.
Let's go to James in Tampa.
The game hasn't even started yet, and it's 14-0.
Yeah. Mm.
James, you're on with Dave Richard.
What's up, boys? What's going on, Dave?
What's
up? The standard league, DJ Moore or Chris Godwin?
I think Godwin is probably the better bet to score a touchdown. DJ Moore, everybody was excited about him after the game. He had 2 weeks ago, over 100 total yards, and then last week, total dud and kind of a weird game for Carolina because they were able to just belly up to the goal line and punch it in a bunch of times. I do think that Moore will probably have a chance to bounce back in targets and get about six targets in the game tonight against Pittsburgh, but it's not going to be easy for him. Steelers secondary is going to be pretty good, and I think Cam is just going to be able to do a lot of work with Olsen, Funchess, and on his own with his legs, and of course Christian McCaffrey. It kind of leaves Moore as the odd man out, so I would sit him.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy. Let's go to John Alexandria. John.
Hey, John, I need a defense. Tampa Bay, Washington, Indianapolis, or Atlanta.
What was that about?
Well, if you can get Buffalo, I would go with Buffalo against Josh McCown and the Jets. But if you can't get Buffalo, the Falcons, now that they've added Bruce Irvin, they've got a pretty good pass rush all of a sudden. And they're taking on the Browns. Cleveland's got some questions along their offensive line. And as decent as Baker Mayfield is, he's still going to turn the ball over at least twice per game. So the Falcons rank as a top 10 DSC this week.
Valdez Scantling didn't like the question, apparently.
Why didn't you like that?
No,
Valdez?
No, we got our signals crossed.
Oh, yeah, Cakes. Yeah. I thought Cakes were in the playoff.
I tried to give him the nonverbal cue for speed round, is this.
Oh.
And he thought it was the playoff.
Come on, guys. We've been doing this too long to get these.
Now it is a speed round. There's so many kinks here. It's a joke.
Well, real quick, before the speed round, can I ask him for a listener?
Yeah.
Who's tweeting?
Well, we'll restart the speed round.
This is a Travis Yamaka.
I don't even know if it's a bad question or not. Defense for the week, Skins, Eagles, or Bills?
Eagles.
All right, there you go.
Hey, Dave, did you know it's time for the speed round? Limited to one question, no trade questions, no dumb questions, no small talk. It's Dave's way or the highway. And a new addition this week, going forward, no Bluetooth or speakerphone. It's an Insta hang-up. We have standards here, JP.
All right, let's start.
Okay.
All right, let's go to, I don't see let's my go, man, Jacques.
Let's go
Where's
Dan and
Rest.
You
want
to go Dan and Rest?
Yeah. Maybe he's like on a missionary trip, like just hooking people.
Maybe he's at the weight room.
Dan, Rested, speed round, go.
Half point PPR, Sammy Watkins or Deion Lewis. Hello from my Bluetooth phone.
Lewis.
That did make me chuckle. Though he stumbled on PPR at the beginning.
Let's go to
a little bit.
Matt, speed round, go.
Half point PPR, one out of the three. Chris Godwin, David Moore, or Josh Stonehands Doxon?
Oh, you can't start.
You're going to go with David Moore.
You can't start, guys. It's going to give you two catches.
You kidding me?
Borderline stupid question.
That's so cuttable.
Let's go to Steve. Manassas, Steve.
PPR, flex spot, need one. Breida, Traquan, Deshaun.
Deshaun.
Well done.
Brad, Arlington, speed round, go.
Full point PPR, start one. Hilton, Edelman, or Josh Gordon?
Gordon.
Gordon.
Speed round, go.
Half point PPR and a flex, Shepard or D-Jax?
D-Jax.
D-Jax revenge game, baby, all day long.
Big time revenge game.
Yes.
Kevin, speed round, go.
Dalton or Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick.
Ooh. Borderline dumb
kind
against
of,
my boys.
That's
very close.
Rich only speed round go.
Russell Wilson or Andy Dalton?
Rich.
Wilson.
Mo, Centerville, go.
Mo.
Half point PPR, I need two out of three. I got Leonard Fournette, Alshon Jeffrey, or Sonny Michel.
I think Fournette's the one you're sitting, whether he plays or not.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Go to Vic. Speed round go.
Standard, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan.
Ryan.
Cooper, speed round, go.
Half point. DJ Moore, Moncrief.
Moncrief.
Barely got
Both
it out.
Terrible. Bad question. Bad receivers all the way around.
And is it Delavon? Speed round, go.
Full PPR league, Wentz or Fitzpatrick?
I would go Fitzpatrick.
Oh, you're bullish on Fitz.
And finally, let's go to our guy, John DePompa. Hey, John.
Hey, Dave, Eric. I get points for hecting curb appeal. Should I start takes his neighbor with two boats in the front yard, Lurch's nubby shared driveway, or EB's group and power line?
That's a tough question. I think you got
to
start
JP's matchbox.
I think you got to start the droopy power line.
That's Valdez's favorite.
Hey, right, hey, Dave. You like Carolina plus four? Or would you lay the four tonight?
I would lay the four.
Big Fatty.
And you like Fitzpatrick. How many points did the Bucs put up on the Redskins?
I'm thinking it's going to be in the neighborhood of 31. I think Washington is just too beat up on the offensive line and too beat up in the secondary.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you set the over-under on Adrian Peterson's yards rushing this week?
I would set it at 70 and a half.
They take 70 because in their losses, he's at 20 or less.
Yeah, 70 would be good.
No, but you make a good point about the injuries on the offensive line. I think that's going to show.
It's gonna crush him, and now I'm starting to think that my over-under on Adrian Peterson is just way too high.
That's very aggressive.
I think I would say 50.
It might be more like 30 and a half instead of 70 and a half.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Of course, you can always tweet him at Dave Richard.
Good luck in your league.
Check out Fantasy Football Today at noon on CBS Sports' new streaming channel, CBS Sports HQ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.